Let's do this. Let's do this.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Come on.
Johnson it.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
JJ back to pass. Fires end zone. Roman Wilson. Touchdown. Jacquez Moore.
An incredibly disappointing loss.
The Rich Eisen Show. Today's guests. Chiefs head coach Andy Reid. Saints punter Lou Headley. Voice of Prime Video Thursday Night Football, Al Michaels. Pro Football Hall of Famer, DeMarcus Ware. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Yes, indeed. Welcome to this edition of the Rich Eisen Show live in Los Angeles, California. It is NFL debut week, college football taking over Labor Day weekend as always. Please give us a call. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial right here on this program. Check us out all 3 hours live on the Roku channel. Would be great to chat with you here today. We've got a full house of guests. Al Michaels right in the middle of this program, the centerpiece, the great voice of football. Al Michaels will be joining us here on this program. We also have joining us in less than 20 minutes time, the head coach that's going to take the Kansas City Chiefs onto the field two nights from now to kick off the season and raise a banner for the good people of Kansas City and also Chiefs Kingdom. Andy Reid will be on this program. Good to see you over there. Chris Brockman, how are you, sir?
Rich, what's happening,
buddy? A great debut for Overreaction Monday, the podcast version yesterday. If you missed it, it's on our YouTube page, but for sure, we want you to listen to it. So where all podcasts can be acquired, Overreaction Monday, every single Monday, our season preview debut of that program hit your eardrums, hopefully, yesterday. Just check us out where all podcasts can be acquired. DJ Mikey D is in D's Nuts. How are you over there, sir? What's going on?
Well, good morning, Rich.
TJ Jefferson, I believe there needs to be a new banner on your list of teams that you follow, sir. How are you over there on this Tuesday after Labor Day?
Guys, just understand, we saw a paradigm shift in the world of college football in Fort Worth this weekend, and I'm excited to see what happens in Colorado. I don't know about you guys.
Okay, it's going to be great.
For one week.
It's going to be great. No. Look, you have every right to sit there and go, oh, it's just 1 week. But I'm about to go all in about the Colorado Buffaloes. I am biased. I love Deion Sanders. Got to work with him for darn near a decade and a half. I got to know him.
Darn near, Rich.
And I, darn near, pardon me. Well, I didn't say damn. Did I say damn?
No,
I,
you said damn.
Darn near. Because Deion hasn't cursed for decades. Listen. I told everybody here last week that Deion Sanders was going to show up with the Colorado Buffaloes this weekend and show everybody that he means business. Did I think they would beat TCU? Got to be honest with you. I wasn't ready to go that far. I mean, as much as I love Prime and believe in everything that he does, 86 new players. 86. Turnover. We knew it was coming. Because when he showed up and spoke to the one-win Colorado Buffaloes as they were amassed in front of him right after his hiring, he said he was bringing Louis with him, meaning Louis Vuitton, that's the luggage that he would be bringing for them to pack their bags because he was coming to bring his people, his kids, his vision to town, and one win ain't it. And sure enough, one game into his tenure in Colorado, he has already matched last year's win total. They went into TCU against the runner-ups from last year. And, of course, they lost some players. But they're not in any way, shape, or form the doormats of college football, as Colorado was last year. 17th ranked. And Colorado went in and won this football game. 45-42. I thought it was going to be one of those whoever has the ball lasts wins.
I like it.
That this was an offensive track meet. And sure enough, Colorado made a defensive stop to wrap the game. And what we saw, like I told you would see, would be Deion Sanders showing you he means business. I don't understand how for so many folks out there, after he's been at it for this long, I tweeted out that this was the latest example of many over the last four decades, essentially, that he is the man. I don't understand why people think that he's just doing this just for him, for his ego, for his flash, his style. He means business. He is a coach. He is a leader of men. And what he has done is create a program in his image. Quite literally, two sons. Shadur and Shiloh, his son, the quarterback, threw for 510 yards. That's all he did. Four touchdowns. And he was throwing dimes, dots, ropes. And he missed some throws, apparently, in the first half as Deion, again, in his image, running off the field at halftime, spoke to Jenny Taft of the Fox broadcast and mentioned how there were a couple of missed opportunities and had his son connected on them. He said the Heisman would already be chilling at the crib as he ran off to go speak to his team at halftime. Again, you don't hear coaches talk like this or be as upfront as that. Heisman would be chilling at the crib after one half of football. Yeah, and he means it. 510 yards and four touchdowns. His son is in the mix after 1 week of Heisman Trophy talk. Shiloh, his son, 10 tackles, tied for the lead of the team. Also, you want to talk about in his image, it's Travis Hunter kid. Which coach would go out there and say, you know what we're going to do with Travis Hunter? We're going to let him play defense because that's what he was essentially recruited to do at corner, but we'll let him play wide receiver. How many coaches would go ahead and say yes to that? Well, obviously, Deion would be the one to go ahead and okay that because that's what Deion would always call himself. Called himself a five-down player. Three on defense, one on special teams, and then one on offense. That's how Deion would refer to himself. Travis Hunter, 151 snaps against TCU. 39 at wide receiver, 28 at slot corner, 81 at wide corner, two at slot corner, one at box, 10 catches, 117 yards, three forced incompletions, and one interception that got, I believe, the first wow out of Gus Johnson on the day from the booth. That's Deion's image, as well as him talking it, because his team walked it. This was prime after the game. This is the one soundbite to me that stands out amongst the many after the contest.
Turn on the film. I tell him to turn on the film. We're gonna continuously be questioned because we do things that have never been done. That's the way our life has presented themselves. We do things that have never been done, and that makes people uncomfortable. When you see a confident black man sitting up here talking his talk, walking his walk, coaching 75% African Americans in the locker room, that's kind of threatening. Oh, they don't like that. But guess what? We're gonna consistently do what we do because I'm here and ain't going nowhere. And I'm about to get comfortable in a minute. I'm about to get comfortable in a minute.
How many times have we heard Deion talk like that? Amongst ourselves.
It's different because we know him, right?
Right. But that's our point here. And that was an answer to the question referring to what you had said off the top and what a lot of folks, I think, are saying, which is, oh, that's just one game. True, it is one game. Absolutely, it is one game. They're going through a Pac-12 cauldron, which, by the way, it appears to be. Pac-12 hasn't lost yet. What a way for the Pac-12
right?
to go out.
How about that?
Right? They haven't lost yet. And so there's some big-time games coming and some big-time opponents coming.
I mean, not this week. They might hang 60 on Nebraska.
Hold on a second on that. I'm about to get to that.
See ya.
Because that's part of where I was winding up.
Okay, great.
So, yeah. But our point is, that's not an act.
Right,
that's Deion.
Of course not.
Yeah. That's prime.
Yeah.
You know, I know there's probably a lot of folks out there saying, why is he making it about race? Because it is. Part of it is about that. Part of it is about when you're saying, did they really do it? Can they really do it? Look at the tape. Damn straight look at the tape. They got some ballers there. Balling out. They're going to have to prepare for the quarterback. They're going to have to prepare for the defensive back / wide receiver. A whole bunch of other kids that are there. Yeah. And Deion is
still Instagramming out and talking. And a lot of folks will be like, normally you just shouldn't be talking still. It's just one game. But that's Deion. He's just going to keep on doing his thing, which also is, did you see his pregame speech to the team? This is something else as well. This got me so fired up because I know he's been waiting for this moment for quite a long time. And he knew this was it. And he knew exactly how to talk to his kids. And he knew exactly how to set the stage. And you tell me if this is now surprising to see what Colorado did in TCU after his kids heard this before going out. Check it.
Usually God gave me a word long before this, but he's been holding it. Because it's not about them. This is about us. This has nothing to do with the team that's opposing us. This is about us. This ain't got nothing to do with the naysayers, the unbelievers, the haters, the doubters. This is about us. When we started this journey, we told you it was going to be trying, it was going to be tough, but you endured because it's about us. That man next to you is a miracle. That man next to you is a believer. That man next to you is a go-getter. That man next to you is a dog. That man next to you is somebody who wants this thing. That man next to you is somebody who believes. That man next to you is somebody that got to have it today. We ain't got tomorrow. We got now. We ain't got next. We got now. We ain't coming no more.
Give me a wall to run through right now.
My favorite part about that speech, he says, we're not coming. And the rest of the players, his kids screamed, we here, because they knew what he was getting at. They are one. Look out. I'm telling you, if the Nebraska team that struggled against Minnesota in week one shows up in Colorado this coming Saturday, they will beat Nebraska back to the Homestead Act. Back to the territory.
Yeah.
Wow. That's how far back they're going to beat him back.
It could be bad.
Honestly, wow. Like Deadwood didn't exist. That's the last. Yeah. Seriously, because the coach there also was bestowed a job in the NFL. Okay. And I just want to say this, because I did suppose the reason why Deion said, I'm not a Knoll, you know, I'm a Talladega College guy. And I assumed it was part of, he said that is because, you know, was disappointed in a way that Florida State didn't offer him a gig. I was told as well, he's saying that stuff because he's recruiting against Florida State. He already took Travis Hunter from him, and he's going to go take more from him. And that's his approach. It's not like, I wasn't Knoll when I was playing, but now I'm the coach, and I have moved on. And then, of course, you need a quarterback who can light it up, and he's got one in his son who is taught. Listen to the way he talks. This is this soundbite from Shador after the game, talking about.
Nah.
Yeah, check it out.
Nothing really. I'll say the only difference between FCS and this level is the D-line get off blocks if you try to scramble up faster. That's it. Everything else, you got good players, you got good DBs, good receivers, everything like that. You just have more of those on the field at once. You got to think, everybody on the field ain't going first round. A lot of people on the field may not get drafted. So don't let people fear names. I don't fear names because I really don't care. But that's the biggest thing. When you fear names and you let – that's half the battle. You already losing. Dang, we playing TCU. I respect the university. I respect everything about them. But personally, I just never cared about names.
Sounds like his dad, doesn't he? I mean, it makes sense to just, I don't care about the name on the front. And also, just one last thing, in his image, I think, again, so many people think of primetime and the fact that he just, with his talent, beat everybody. He did. On certain days, I believe his talent would last. Do you know what Deion would do? He told me this over and over again when he was playing way back in the day. he would have some sort of videotape setup. This is way before there were videotape setups, okay? He would have a videotape setup in his hotel room and hotel bathroom while he would take a bath the night before a game to get ready. And he would rest the video machine on the bathtub or the toilet seat and just sit there and watch as much film as he could, as much as he could possibly mentally be ready to beat you, because he knew what you were going to do by your tendency, by the way your feet were set, by the way your hands were being held at your sides, because he's smarter than you too. And I would counsel everybody else that thinks they just out-talented TCU to listen to what his son just said. This mindset of the defenders here at this level, as opposed to where I was playing in Jackson State with my dad, where everybody thought I was playing just because my dad was the coach. No, I've noticed these guys get off there blocks a little faster. That's what I'm noticing here. Look out is all I'm counseling. And unless you are rooting heavily against Deion, then maybe you should just go out and think, okay, they'll fall off. They might not be deep. Again, 86 new kids if they get an injury here or an injury there. But they also got through a game in apparently 120-degree on-field heat with that supposedly thin roster. That was amazing. Holy cow. And, you know, Clemson lost to Duke, and Florida State beat the crap out of LSU, even though Brian Kelly said we're going to beat the brakes off of, you know, Florida State. You know, there are a lot of other aspects of college football this weekend that deserve mention. And Texas is playing Alabama this week, and that's going to be obviously the marquee for good reasons. But look out. What a weekend. Holy smokes. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. That's why if we added a Colorado pennant to your meme of all the teams that you follow, TJ?
I was all for it. It was very necessary. You know, guys, I know we're going to break, but real quick, people don't like to hear this sometimes, but sometimes in life there are people, man, who truly are blessed and highly favored. We all know people like that who, and I'm friends with some, who just anything they do, anything they touch turns to gold. It works for them. Deion's one of those people, I believe, and there is no doubt in my mind that he's going to be successful. Just there's no question that this team is going to be great. And it might not be this year, although it looks like it will be.
Well, he's only going to get better.
He's
like
only
I said,
get better.
Like I said, he is coming for your recruit. I thought I saw he was talking to some kids who went up to him from TCU. I thought to myself, that is the last coach I'd want my kid to go up and talk to after the game. Even if he's saying to him, you did well, you're awesome, you know, we had a tough time against you. You see that all the time, and I think it's classy that they do that. No talking to Deion. No talking to Deion. No looking at his videos. No looking at his pregame speeches when he calls for his theme music. You duck. Holy cow. What a week one for him and Colorado. The Buffs fans must be out of their skulls right now. They're going to show up to try and take Nebraska out like an old school game, man.
Off the map.
Oh, my gosh. They're going to be begging for Tom Osborne by the end of that.
Tommy Frazier, where are you at?
Yeah, where's Tommy Frazier?
Mike Rozier.
Oh, my God. Like the Nebraska territories. It's going to be like 1883. They're going to hit him. They're going to go turn back the clock. Whoa.
Yeah, he's taking kids, Rich. And I mean that in a positive way. There's kids are going to want to go play for him. And his shadow's so large. Mike, he hasn't played a football game since 2005. People still do his dance.
Well, we do it.
They still do his dance in the end zone when they take a pick six.
Let's take a break. Andy Reid's coming up next. Al Michaels is making his way to the studio. Also on this program, DeMarcus Ware, Pro Football Hall of Famer. And at the end of the hour, the 30-year-old rookie punter of the New Orleans Saints, Lou Heddy, will be on this program.
It's Headley.
Oh, that's right. My bad.
It's Headley.
It's Headley.
Oh, my gosh. Are we going to use that drop like crazy or what? It is Headley. Lou Headley, Andy Reid, Al Michaels, DeMarcus Ware, and you, 844-204-RICH, number to dial. Andy Reid, when we come back. Let's talk about AG1, people, a new partner of the Rich Eisen Show, a daily foundational nutritional supplement that helps support whole body health. And if you're like me, then it's so hard to keep up with a supplement routine throughout your busy day when it comes with a bunch of products on top of it. So when you drink AG1, you notice an overall feeling of health. It can help support your mental clarity, improve digestion, focus. Drink it in the morning, drink it in the afternoon, before working out in the morning, before making your coffee, starting your day. Makes you feel unstoppable, ready to take on the day and anything that comes your way. If you want help taking ownership of your health, and of course you do, try AG1 and get a free one-year supply of vitamin D and five free AG1 travel packs with your first purchase. Go to drinkag1.com/Eisen. That's drinkag1.com/Eisen. Take ownership of your health right now. Check it out. drinkag1.com/Eisen.
The NFL is here, and it's all about the sweet offers from DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. New customers can pocket $200 in bonus bets instantly when you bet just $5 on any NFL game.
Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code FIELDGOAL to sign up. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. See dkng.co/football for eligibility, terms, and responsible gaming resources. Bonus bets expire 7 days after issuance. Eligibility and deposit restrictions apply.
That's the way to start the program.
Yeah, I mean, it is the story of the weekend. It was an awesome college football weekend, though. I will say, we are back.
Yeah. Florida State looked pretty good in the second half.
Florida State's huge win. Yep. Duke upsetting Clemson last night. That was insane. It was awesome.
By 3 touchdowns.
That's a shame.
I mean, 3 touchdowns.
Your Wolverines just rolled. That's no.
Well, I mean,
did they?
I mean, 30-3.
Look, I mean, it's
the weird thing they did to start the game.
Well, they did that for the train, you know, formation for Harbaugh, held up number 4. I mean, look, everybody's got to use whatever they want to get through the day, get through the week, get through the year, get through the season. If they want to use the fact that the coach got sat most likely by school, you know, management for 3 games, you know, to try and light the fire, I'm all for it. You know, Jim's all for it. I'll tell you this, man. I don't care about that final score, 30-3, because guess what? First of all, they didn't get App stated. That's the way I look at it. And number two, did you, and I'm not saying this as a facetious or trolling thing, did you see the game? Did you see it?
No, I saw.
Okay, JJ McCarthy looked
good. I saw his numbers.
Dude, when I say good, like, he looks vastly improved.
Oh, I mean, he's fourth.
Vast.
He's fourth in the Heisman odds.
He looks vastly improved. Look at those numbers. He didn't miss many passes. So, and Blake Corum looked like Blake Corum, which is clearly coming off of a knee injury, which you needed to see. So, there you go. 30-3 final. JJ McCarthy got it done. Blake Corum looked healthy. Defense buzzing around. Onward, moving on. So, but Clemson losing by 3 touchdowns to
Duke. They looked awful.
Duke.
They looked terrible.
Whoa.
Yeah.
I think Oregon thought they were playing a basketball game.
Yeah, beating Portland State, right? Yeah, I know. Yeah, I know.
And Portland thought it was a baseball
something
game.
Something else, for sure. Back here on the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network, I'm sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk, furnished by Grainger, with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. As you know, this show has a very close relationship in so many ways to Westwood One and Westwood Run, the Westwood One Radio Network, the Cumulus Podcast Network. Again, this show, all 3 hours every day, available through that podcast network. We launched a new podcast on our new podcast set that's off to the left here, called Overreaction Monday. We're going to do our usual such segment, all of us together. Chris and I, every Monday, are going to be bringing you the podcast version of Overreaction Monday. Susie Schuster and Amy Trask, starting next Tuesday, a week from tomorrow, a show called What the Football, looking at the previous week's games, the upcoming week's games, and of course the entire world of sports. All of it available on the Cumulus Podcast Network. I'm also the host of Monday Night Football on Westwood One. Thursday night is the big kickoff between the Chiefs and the Lions. And in advance of that, I chatted over the weekend, just yesterday, I believe. Yeah, just yesterday. A little Labor Day chat with the great Andy Reid of the Kansas City Chiefs. World champion Kansas City Chiefs, Andy Reid. How are you, coach?
Rich, I'm doing good. Thank you.
How does that hit you, 25 years as a head coach in the league, Andy?
Well, that means you're old, right? So, but it's been an honor. Every one of those years has been an honor. There are only 32 of us in the whole world that get a chance to do it, and I cherish every day of it.
So, what was your first opening week in the NFL? Can you remember that one for me?
It was a long time ago. I'm not even sure who we played in that game, but I'm sure it was very exciting.
Was it in Green Bay? Was that where you were? Were you in Green Bay?
It was Green Bay. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it might have been Cincinnati or one of those.
Okay.
But I'm stretching it way back.
You're hitting the way back machine. Maybe I hit that way back machine button too much. You're focused on the here and now and the present. How much do you discuss the target that's on your back with your team, or they've been through this before, so they already know?
Yeah, so the guys, they know. I mean, they know that it's there. I mean, you really don't have to remind them. They very often they've got a pretty good feel on where they've been and what they've done. When we got into this division here, it was Denver was in the same situation we're in, and we were trying to go get them, right? And so that some of those guys are still around. They know. And they do a great job in the locker room of making sure that's taken care of.
And I'm sure Mahomes is leading the way on that. Has he reached his peak, do you think, Andy, of just that he's reached the saturation point of greatness, that this is the guy we're going to get? Andy, what do you think here?
Yes. Yeah. You know, I think, Rich, with the quarterbacks every year, until age takes over, they have a chance to better their game. I joke because it's a little bit like being a farmer, that the work's never done. There's always something you can work on, probably a little bit like you'd see with golfers. They've always got something that they can work on. I think it's the same way as a quarterback. And, I would tell you, has he reached it? Well, he's going to try to better it. You know, that's his attitude with it. And I know it's good for, he's done a nice job of where he's at, but he's always trying to get himself better.
And so what do you think, if you could pull on one aspect of his game that you think he can improve on, or he's paying new attention to improve upon, Andy?
Yeah. So it's always that combination of the routes, in particular when you give them new routes, and the coverages and the footwork that go along with that against a different look, the different coverages, making sure our guys are familiar with it. So, reps become important there too. But the footwork is normally where you go with a quarterback, especially if you're continuing to add things into the offense there.
And then, when it comes to him and Kelce, is there any comparison that you may have from your past at any point in time that you've seen a quarterback pass catcher connection like this on a team of yours, anything like this, Andy?
Well, I'll tell you that they're special that way. And, probably the latest one was Gronkowski and Brady. I mean, they just got done doing this thing. So, I know it's, they all do it a little different. The combinations do it a little different. And I'm glad we have both of them. And both of them are best friends. And then they both respect their games. And that's a positive thing for us.
One of my favorite screen grabs that I saw recently from the preseason, Coach, is, I guess, the play against Arizona where Mahomes is running. He's got four guys chasing him to his right. That was the one where he threw the ball as he's leaping out of bounds. And Kelce's on the numbers on the opposite side of the field going vertical, waving his hand like he's open, as if he thinks Mahomes has his eyes in the back of his head. I don't know. Did you see? I'm sure you must have seen that on film. And what did you think when you saw that?
Well, I was really watching Pat because I thought the defensive guys were going to knock him into the third row there. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's a preseason game, and he's doing his best Sammy Baugh imitation. But I did see him. Yes, I did see him, and they've made those kind of plays before, so that wouldn't have been too unusual. But the thing Trav does very well is he works to get himself open. If something breaks down, he's going to find a way to get open. And I know the Lions know about that. So they're going to – they'll have a – you know, I'm sure somebody to cover them all over the field, or at least attempt to.
Andy Reid here on the eve of Thursday night's kickoff of the 2023 season. I'm sure you hear about the conversation about the running back market, Coach, and how running backs are not being valued monetarily, certainly to the way that they figure that they should be. And a lot of the conversation is how you can just take kids out of college and throw them in there. And one of the players that gets mentioned when that theory comes to be discussed is Isaiah Pacheco, and how you've taken Jerick McKinnon and done what he can do with him. Do you in your offense not focus on having a bell cow? Is that something that you you bring to bear when you put a game plan together? I wonder what your philosophy is on all of this, Coach.
Yeah, we look, I mean, we try to look for redeeming qualities. I mean, Brett Veach does a great job of this. So look for redeeming qualities that fit into the offense. We value those guys. I mean, they're important to our offense. And I know the market doesn't say that, but that's part of this business. It's a little bit secular that way. You know, 1 year is going to be the receivers making a ton. Another couple years down the road, the running backs will be back in there making a ton. This thing goes in a big circle. So it's just at this time, there are some guys like Pacheco and, like you mentioned, McKinnon that have done a nice job. And they're, you know, it's, and they just didn't happen to be picked in the highest spots.
Andy Reid here prior to kickoff. So let's discuss your passing game and the receivers that you have, Coach, and how the relationship between Mahomes and some of the newer guys that you have there, and how you get that ready for week one where it currently stands.
Yeah, well, listen, we have a lot of no-namers in there that just work hard. And so they're doing a nice job with that. They did a nice job last year with it. So and, you know, like I mentioned, the Lions will be a great test in that area because they got a heck of a secondary and, you know, they're going to give you a bunch of different looks. So it's important that, these no names get themselves in the right position and do their job and do it the best of their ability like they have in the past.
Then, of course, defensively, you've got your hands full. I'm sure you recall the last time a defense of yours took on Jared Goff. Under the lights, right, Coach? You remember that night?
I remember a lot of points put up that game. He did a heck of a job. We have a ton of respect for him. I think you know that. It's he's a good player. I liked him coming out of college, and you know, I think he's done a nice job in the NFL, and he's found a new place to do it at with the Lions. And he's coming off a great year, and so our guys again, our secondary's been working like crazy to make sure. We cover these good receivers they've got. They've got a California connection there that's pretty good. So they gotta make sure we stay on top of that.
And then, of course, having Chris Jones would be helpful. And I know, you know, this is one of the controllables that you can't control. What is your knowledge about Chris Jones just a couple days before kickoff here, Coach?
You know what, Rich? Veach does a nice job of just taking care of that. I just worry about coaching the guys I've got. I don't worry too much. I mean, I've got enough to think about just getting ready for this game. So, and my motto has always been, Chris knows this as the other guys do, that if you're there, we're going to coach the heck out of you. And if you're not, then you're not, you know, so you're not going to be part of it. And so that's kind of where we're at right now. And I've got a lot of trust in our defensive line and, you know, those are prideful guys there, and you see this in sports. That, you know, it's another man's opportunity to step in and do it. If you miss, and that's the way it is here with Chris not there, the other guys will step in and play.
And then, obviously, this is not your first rodeo in this regard. Do you reach out to Chris? Have you reached out to him recently at all, Coach?
Yeah, you know what, Rich, I just kind of keep that. You know, I'm not going there with any of that. I let Brett do. Brett do his business, and then whether I have or haven't, I just let that go. I mean, that's rather not talk about all that.
Sure. And then when you pass Brett in the hallway, do you just like give him an extra stare and say, what's up? Do you do that when you see him or when he calls him? You see his number on your phone? What happens?
You know, Rich, I got a lot of trust in him. So I stick true to, you know, my feelings on it and how I go about my business. And with that trust that I have in Brett, he knows that I'm going to coach the heck out of whoever's here.
Andy Reid here, a couple minutes left with the head coach of the Kansas City Chiefs. So how about you? And again, year 25 for you, Andy. How has the league changed since year one for you in Philadelphia, now year 25, 11th in Kansas City for you?
Yeah, well, you know, the simplest one I can give you is there's a lot more shotgun, right? Back then, we were under center, and for my first few years at Philadelphia, we never got in the gun, and all of a sudden, you're back in it. And then the second thing would be the media is way more educated, I think, and I don't mean scholastically. You guys are smart guys, but just there's just more knowledge out there of the game. There's not as many secrets with the technology that's out there. So, you know, and the relationships, I think, have actually gotten better with that, which is a little bit crazy, but that part's quite a bit different than when I first got in.
And of course, you know, I know it's not your team, but I don't know if it passed your way, but, you know, there was some news out of Los Angeles. Matthew Stafford was talking about his new teammates. It was difficult to get to know these young kids because their faces are in their phones all the time. And that honestly, that it was difficult to just not only communicate with them, but to make eye contact with them. Because as soon as the practice is over, everybody's grabbing their phones. I'm wondering how, you know, you deal with that era of player right now, Andy.
Yeah, so this is what's why I'm laughing. When I got into the league, there were no cell phones. So I go back even, you know, like you do. We go back a little bit further than that. So,
right.
But you roll with it. And, you know, the guys, that's what they do. The one part about training camp that I love the most about going away, excuse me, is that the guys end up talking to each other. They sit around the dinner table and they talk, they communicate, they go up to their rooms. They've got a room that they talk. And so the cell phone gets put on the side for a second. And they get to communicate verbally. And that's a nice thing, I think, about it.
Then I guess just to bring this all full circle, Coach, is, you know, the target on the Chiefs' back. I know you said that your players know that it exists. I mean, you're defending Sure. Super Bowl champs, but there is a team coming in that would love to put a Chiefs pelt on their wall. I mean, you know Dan Campbell, you know how he came into the league, you know how he has progressed in this league as a coach, and what the Detroit Lions would love to do and prove to the country that thinks you're about to steamroll them, quite frankly. So how do you address that right now?
Yeah, sure. Dan Campbell, I think, is great for the National Football League. He's done a heck of a job, and, you know, I'm happy for him on that. And, you know, the one thing, again, I go back to that technology, is we turn on this tape here, and we see how good they are. That's not a secret. And so we know they play extremely hard, and we've got a ton of respect for them. I've got a ton of respect for their coaching staff and what they do there. And so it should be one heck of a game. We don't look at the odds and all that. I can't even tell you what those are. And so I don't care. I just know it's a good football team coming in here. We've got to be ready to play. And so that's what we're working on. And we're taking it day by day as we go here and making sure that we get our business done.
Coach, appreciate the time. I do cherish when you say yes, when I ring up and say, let's chat. So I greatly appreciate it. And good luck on opening night and throughout the season. Look for more of my calls. Thank you.
Thanks, Rich. You're a great one, man.
Appreciate you saying that. That's Andy Reid of the defending champion Kansas City Chiefs before taking on the Lions on Thursday night.
Fun chat with Andy Reid. We'll have one with Dan Campbell on tomorrow's show because we're fair and balanced. Coming up next, 30-year-old rookie Paul Heady.
It's Headley.
Of the New Orleans Saints. It is Headley.
It's Headley.
It's Lou Headley as well. Lou Headley of the New Orleans Saints will be coming up next. Boy, I can't have enough Blazing Saddles drops. That might be the only one we can play on radio. That's coming up next. Lou Hedley of the Saints.
NFL Sunday Ticket is now on YouTube and YouTube TV, which means that you can stay close to your team even if you don't live in their town. Like, maybe you're a Raven who married a Seahawk who got a job in the land of the Falcons. With NFL Sunday Ticket, you can watch your team's out-of-market Sunday afternoon games no matter where you live, because you shouldn't have to change teams even if you change towns. NFL Sunday Ticket, now on YouTube and YouTube TV. Go to youtube.com/presale to get $50 off.
Terms and embargoes apply. Offer ends 9/19. No refund. Subscription auto renews.
It's time for kickoff, and the Believe podcast will get you ready for the new season.
How do you live through this as a Detroit sports fan?
Believe has podcasts covering all 32 professional teams and many of your favorite college teams, too.
You solidified your defense. You got better.
Sideline to sideline. End zone to end zone.
If you don't do those things, then you're not even trying your hardest to win at football, and I don't know what we're doing.
There was a lot of great players on those teams that I was fortunate to be part of.
Search BLEAV podcasts wherever you listen.
Man, I just saw on ESPN during the commercial break, because, you know, I have my finger on every pulse, my eye on every screen as we're sitting here on the Roku channel. The Eagles, according to ESPN, whatever their metric is, their index, I don't know. Back in the day, researchers would just hand me a Did You Know to read at the end of SportsCenter. That was about
did
it.
Did You Know?
You know, and some other facts. But now they've got their own, you know, whole to do. The Eagles have the best chance out of the NFC to reach the Super Bowl. The Niners are two. Your Cowboys are three. Do you know who's fourth?
In the NFC?
In the NFC, according to ESPN, to reach the Super Bowl. To win the conference.
Vikings?
Nope.
The Lions?
That's correct.
What?
10% really? Chance. 10%. Again, I spoke to Dan Campbell over the weekend. That conversation's on tomorrow's program. I mean, oh, and I did ask him if he did in fact reach out to the NFL to see if he could get a live lion on the sideline. We did hit that subject matter. His answer will surprise you. His answer will surprise you.
The way it surprises me if he says no, he didn't.
His answer will surprise yeah. you. That's all I'm going to say. That's a tease for tomorrow's program. I was a little late getting to Andy Reid, and we're about to bring in our next guest as soon as the radio audience returns. Any chance to play a Harvey Korman drop on the program, I will do it. Because, again, every single time I heard the name of Lou Hedley, it reminded me of
Hedley.
That line from Hedley. Blazing Saddles. Hedy Lamarr.
It's Hedley.
Thank you very much. I don't know how many times I'm going to use the drop, but one more time before we bring him on.
It's Hedley.
Thank you very much. We're going to play Celebrity True or False with him as well.
I don't know when the last time I watched Blazing Saddles.
It holds. It holds. It holds. It holds. That's all I'm saying. It holds. Back here on the Rich Eisen Show, 844-204-RICH, number to dial. Everybody wants to, a lot of people want to play the win-loss game. Don't worry, we're going to have time. Al Michaels making his way to our studio. We'll chat with him. Hour number two, DeMarcus Ware, hour three, Overreaction Monday. We're going to fit in as many win-loss games as we possibly can. But joining us here on the Rich Eisen Show, as you know, we're all about the punters here. I'm the one who screamed punters are people too many, many years ago when Brian Anger got drafted before Russell Wilson by the Jacksonville Jaguars back in the day. joining us here now on the Rich Eisen Show, 30-year-old rookie from the New Orleans Saints by way of Australia and the University of Miami, Lou Hedley, here on the Rich Eisen Show. How are you, Lou?
Great, mate. I'm happy to be here.
Thanks for saying that. Greatly appreciate it. What's going through your mind as you're getting set to kick and punt against the Tennessee Titans as a 30-year-old in the NFL now? Lou, what do you got for me?
So last week was a little crazy, you know, but that all settled down now. So just like any other week, it's the same preparation going into week one against the Titans.
So how long have you been, if you will, dreaming for this moment, Lou?
I think I come over here in 2017. I went to junior college in San Francisco. And obviously the goal out of there was to go to a big college program, and I was fortunate enough to get a scholarship to the University of Miami. And then, once I started at Miami, the next goal was obviously to make it into the NFL. So it's been a long time coming. And like I said, it feels like it's flown by. yeah, just very fortunate, blessed to be in the situation I am and ready to go week one.
And so, you know, when you who was the first person in your life to say, you know, how does American football sound to you?
I had a coach when I used to play Australian rules football. I always had a pretty big kick. So I had a coach, Coach Brew, his name was. He kind of told me, he's like, you should give American football a crack. And I didn't really know there was any pathways into it. But now, fortunately enough for young Australians, there's, you know, there's academies over there that kind of teach AFL players, Australian rules football players, how to kind of kick an American ball and kind of show them the pathway into college football over here. So once I figured out how to go down that path with Pro Kick Australia, they kind of, you know, told me I've got a shot at making a big time college and potentially going to the NFL. So from there, I just kind of followed suit. And yeah, like I said, ended up at City College of San Francisco, to the University of Miami, and then very fortunate enough to sign with the Saints.
All right. Well, Lou, there's so much about your past that has been already discussed, but I need to know what's true and what's not. As you know, in our world, some things are not true. They sound false in our world, and that's how we play a game on the Rich Eisen Show called Celebrity True or False. Normally, we play it with actors, actresses, musicians, writers. You were the first punter to play it, Lou. So are you prepared for this big moment?
Yes, sir. Yep.
Okay.
Ready to go.
Here we go. Lou Hedley, Celebrity True or False. Hit it. We have some nice producing value here.
Celebrity True or False.
You can't handle the truth.
Yes, there it is. Punters are celebrities, too. All right. First up for you, Lou Hedley. True or false, the population of your hometown in Western Australia is 351.
False.
That's false. Okay.
What is maybe it's true now, but when I was living there, it was, I think it was about 700. So possibly it's gotten smaller for sure.
Oh, so the population was doubled at that town. What?
Yeah.
What is the name of your hometown in Western Australia? Okay. And what was life like there for you with 700 people?
Yeah. So it was a small fishing town. You know, there wasn't much kids at the school. So I remember my brother's 3 years older than me. I think we were in the same classroom when we played sports. I was kind of on the same team as him. So, you know, there wasn't enough people to kind of spread it all out. But when I was 12, I ended up moving into the city, maybe 10, moving into like the city suburbs. So I got an idea of what, you know, everything else looks like. But yeah, growing up until about grade 6, I was kind of in a really small fishing town.
Number two on this list, Lou Hedley, true or false, you worked for years as a scaffolder before trying American football. Is that true?
That is true, yes.
How long?
So I think I started scaffolding when I was 17. So about 5 or 6 years until, yeah, then I decided to come over to America and give college a crack.
Okay, so that's your first ever hang time is scaffolding, is what you're saying, Lou?
Yeah, I was hanging up there in a harness, yeah, well before kicking a football.
How high have you ever been hanging from a harness in your life, Lou?
I don't know, maybe about 50 meters. I don't know what that translates to feet. But pretty high, skyscrapers and stuff like that gets the blood going for sure.
Okay, I was told there would be no math on this. Chris, how high is 50 meters in feet? What do you got for me right there?
It's about 175 feet.
Did you just do that off the top of your head?
Yeah, it's like 3-point-whatever meters.
All right, that's impressive.
Feet.
Okay, next one for you, Lou. True or false, you co-owned a tattoo parlor in Indonesia.
That is true.
How the hell did that happen?
So my one of my best friends, Nathan Wilson, he actually plays in the AFL back home. His stepdad is Balinese, and so he could illegally, you know, run a business over there. So we all put a certain amount of money in, and yeah, we'll run a shop over there called Rosemary Tattoo. It's actually still up and running there in Bali, but yeah, I ended up selling my share of the shop to put forward to junior college.
Do you have a Florida Lee tattoo now? You got one?
No.
Why not? What's up?
All right, maybe it's coming. Maybe we got one coming.
Okay, so then what's the most interesting ink that you have?
I got many tattoos that people find interesting. You know, I got aliens, I got spaceships abducting cows. I got a lot of things on my body.
So you believe that there is alien life form then that abducts cows is what you're saying?
Yeah, I guess so. So that was I got those tattoos when I was a little younger.
Okay.
You know, about 12 years ago. So.
Okay.
But yeah, sure.
All right, last one for sure. Okay, last one for you. True or false? You wore 94 at Miami because that was Dwayne Johnson's number at Miami.
Yes, that's true.
Okay. why? Why is that, Lou? Why'd you do that?
Well, I'm not really big on numbers. You know what I mean? I didn't really mind what number I was going to wear, but you know, getting recruited to Miami, I obviously learned about the history of it, and you know, when I found out that The Rock went there and wore number 94. You know, I was a huge fan of his growing up. Me and my brother used to watch all the wrestling matches. So yeah, just I thought it would be cool to follow in his footsteps and get 94 back on the map at Miami.
Okay. Did you ask for it specifically?
Yeah, when I got there, no one was wearing 94. So I did ask if I could wear it. And yeah, it was available.
And he has, we just saw on the screen, he's tweeted at you.
Yeah, so he reached out when I first signed with Miami.
Okay.
And then he actually sent me a really nice video message before the draft process, wishing me luck with everything. And then, yeah, once he found out the news about me signing here, he kind of sent me another couple of nice tweets as well. So I appreciate that a lot.
Did you – have you had the gumption to ask Cam Jordan if he would give up 94 there in New Orleans for you, Lou?
Yeah, no, I think that's the big fella's number to keep.
So that's what we call a non-starter. You did not do that at all.
No, definitely not.
Okay. Very good. All right, Lou, thanks very much for zooming in here. 30-year-old rookies are always fascinating. Punters are fascinating to me as well. Go punt. Go hit the can you hit the Superdome roof, do you think?
That'd be a tough task. If anybody ever hits that roof, it might be the biggest punt in NFL history.
Okay. Let's see it. Let's see it against Tennessee. Give it a try, Lou. Thanks for zooming in.
I appreciate it, Rich. Thanks for having me on the show, man.
Anytime. That's Lou Headley of the New Orleans Saints getting set to punt in the National Football League at age 30. Didn't ask Cam Jordan. I wouldn't have either.
Yeah,
smart. That would have been very expensive. Thank you very much. Yeah, great chat with Lou Headley.
It's Headley.
Thank you very much. One last Harvey Korman drop. Al Michaels coming up in studio hour two. That's how we're rolling.
It's Headley.
Thank you very much.
The veteran move, not asking Cam for the number.
Right.
Hey, I know you've been here, you know, forever, and you're probably going to the Hall of Fame. What do you think about giving me 94?
94, after all this time. You want to wear your old college number?
What was Cam's?
New Orleans versus Tennessee. That's one of those games people are like for week one, eh. Except one of those teams will be 1-0, and then New Orleans is at Carolina on a Monday night in week two. New Orleans wins a home game. They will then be taking on the team with a rookie quarterback on Monday Night Football. And then they're at Green Bay.
Saints have the easiest schedule in the league. They have a path to the one seed in the NFC if Philly and San Francisco kind of falter. And Derek Carr's as good as everyone.
Yeah, man.
Thanks and hope.
And then Alvin Kamara is coming back. If Can't Guard Mike returns to his old form, look out. And they've got an Aussie punter at age 30. The Jets had a guy named Ben Graham who came over from Australia and was a rookie at age 31. So how about us? Like, we come on. If you had told me the first show we would be doing of NFL Week would be coming on talking about Dion winning his first game as head coach at Colorado.
Yeah.
Andy Reid in his 25th year. Right. And then the punter, a 30-year-old rookie of the New Orleans Saints before welcoming in Al Michaels. I say, of course, that's how we roll.
What are you smoking, bro? Give me some.
Hour number two of this program coming out with the great Albino in studio.
I believe it.
For over three decades, nobody has had a wrestling career like Arn Anderson. Conrad Thompson gets all the stories with Arn.
After watching AEW's Double or Nothing, Amy wants to know, what does dinosaur taste like?
It ain't chicken. It's like biting into a sinewy charcoal briquette.
Ah.
But chewy.
Oh, like wow, that's disgusting.
Yeah, sure is.
Check out Arn every week, wherever you listen.